Okay, I want to welcome everybody to the new Beit Yaakov, Beit Midrash. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Last we stopped, we were on in the middle of chapter 28. So I want to begin actually with page one, just to go for the map and understand where things are. Okay, you'll see it is very interesting. If you don't have a page one, you look at the numbers. You look at the map. I think I have more ones. There are more ones there. You'll see that. Steve, you got cheese?
No, I'm good.
You good? Why don't you share? I'll move over and share. Okay, chapter 28. Somebody give me a page, chapter
28.
In the art scroll, beginning of chapter 28. Yeah.
178.
So today, I mentioned some of the Midrashim for you. Last week, I mentioned some of the Midrashim, but I want to go back because I want to read them together. They're fascinating. We're going to just briefly go over the story, and then I'm going to review some of the questions that we asked, and we'll see if we can come to some of the answers of the Midrash and some of the answers that we had on our own. Okay? So if you recall, the police team gathered up against this whole standing in the classroom thing. It's very deja vu. I can't really handle it. You know, I'm used to the adult ed thing, you know, like the globe in the back. And okay. It says, where are we? Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. Vayikutsu plishtim vayavo vayachanu b'shunem. So the plishtim came and they gathered in Shunem. Vayipot Shaul ha-kol Yisrael vayachanu b'gilboa. Okay? So if you look up where Shunem is, right, you see that the plishtim, they decided they were going to take over up north. Okay? It seems that they wanted, it's very unclear why in the world they went all the way up there. Maybe, why did they attack where Shaul was in Binyamin? The answer probably is that was the weakest part. So you want to go where your enemy is not. And Shaul went up and went up into the Gilboa. See Gilboa, Har Gilboa, the Mount Gilboa, look at the bottom right. If you see the map that's blown up, the map blown up on the bottom right. So Har Gilboa is that mountain, okay? And what does Shaul need to do? He needed to ask God. And he couldn't find anyone. He didn't know what to do, okay? So he went to Midrosh B'Baalat Ov, okay? Baalat Ov was in Ein Dor. If you'll see that Shaul had to go around the camp, right, to the other side of the camp, to the bottom, and he went around to the right and up. And he went to this woman in Ein Dor. Who was the lady in Ein Dor? Now we come to our interesting Midrash sheet. One second. Where are we? Why did he go to the woman? Does anybody remember?
She was a witch.
Right. Which witch? How did he know who she was? Do you remember?
She was the mother of Avner.
Very good. Right. She was the mother of Avner ben Ner. So, sure, my mom lives here. It all worked out very nicely. So, we have to go back and read it again because otherwise we're just going to... We're gonna forget it. So I'm gonna read through it quickly. Pasuk K. Vayar Shaul et machane plishtim vayecharav libo meod. Shaul saw the camp of the plishtim. He was very, very afraid. Vayishal Shaul b'Hashem v'lo anahu Hashem. So Shaul asked God, and God didn't answer him. Gam b'chalomot, gam b'urim, gam b'nevi'im. Remember, he asked him the three ways. Chalomot is his dreams. The urim b'tumim, and he answered, and he also asked in the prophets. So he asked God in all of these different ways. So Shaul said to his people, "Bikshuli eshet ba'alat ov, ve'alchai leha ve'edushava. Find me this a necromancer, and I'll ask her." But Yimru Avidav Elav, "Hinei eshet ba'alat ov be'ein dor." We know who he was. The Midrash says again that was Avner's mother. Vayitchapes Shaul. Remember, we left it. What does vayitchapes mean? He disguised himself. So I left you. I'm just going to remind you. We asked that question. What is the next words? Vayilbash begadim achirim. So if I would ask you, Zoya, what's the definition of to disguise yourself? Right, put on fake clothes. So what does vayitchapes mean? Do you understand the question? I'm at the beginning of Pasuk Chet. Vayitchapes Shaul. Shaul disguised himself. Vayilbash begadim achirim.
But it's weird.
They ran out of the fake mustaches.
We had a couple of those.
But he's the king. Everybody knows who
No, were you here last week?
No.
Ah, what did we say last week?
He said that he would have a lot of people with him, and that would indicate he was someone.
Right, meaning, but nobody would know what he looks like. Actually, Shaul had a disadvantage. Could anybody remember what Shaul's personal disadvantage was, that somebody would might recognize him? Yes, he was the only guy that was head and shoulders above everybody else. So, but all I'm saying to you is it's important, it's unusual to say the same thing twice. And how often do we see that? It could be, yeah, if you want to say that, that's what you're going to say. But I suggest to you that this word is the key to the whole chapter. And the key, perhaps, even to the personality of Shaul. Okay? And I'll answer it by saying the following. What is the root of vayikhapesh?
To search.
Good. Very good. Except, what's interesting about this word? It doesn't mean that he searched. What conjugation is it, Steve? Hitpael. Very good. What does hitpael appear? What does hitpael mean? Right. Hitpael is the reflexive. How do you say, I got dressed? Hitla bashti. Anytime you see that, by yitla besh, means I got he got himself dressed. I don't know. Somebody think of another example. Hitgaleach. Right. Very good. To shave yourself. Okay. So again, what is vayitchapesh? If you understand it this way, of course it means that he disguised himself, because that's what it means in context. What does it mean here?
Search for himself.
Interesting, isn't it? What does it mean? And he looked inside himself. And what did he do when he found out? It's so interesting. He looked inside himself. And what did he do when he searched inside of himself? What was the next thing he did?
He disguised himself.
Why?
He didn't like
what's that?
He didn't like what he saw.
Right. No. Meaning what? Here's my question. Oh, what's the disguise? And what's the real clothing? Freed himself of being, didn't like being king. Could it be that he didn't like being king? Or that he didn't think of himself as a king? What is it?
Not humble. He's not a sick person. He realizes all the bad. It's like he's woke up from a dream or something. He sees the reality of what he really became.
Interesting. It's such a powerful word, isn't it? By Yitzhapes. That, you know, what did I see? Saw this really, really scary movie called Collateral. Anybody see that movie, Collateral? You saw it?
Yeah.
It was really well done, wasn't it? So the lady's in his cab, and she's talking about he's talking to her about what she does. And she has a big case the next day. He's talking to this woman who's a lawyer, who's a district attorney. And she says, tonight what I'm going to do is, it was the night before a big case, I'm going to go over my notes. Page 4 is missing. I'm going to go over my notes, and I'm going to look at myself, and I'm going to see that basically I'm a fraud, and I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing, and no one's going to listen to me, and no one's going to believe me, and then I'm going to cry. And then I'm going to relook at my notes, and I'm going to rework the displays and rework the questions, and I'm going to go in tomorrow, and I'm going to do a good job. How many people have that kind of self-doubt? How many people, anybody know anybody who does not have that kind of self-doubt? That if only people knew who I really was, they would know what kind of fraud I really am.
Most anybody in a position of power, where they are the decision maker, right.
I heard Jackie Mason on today on Mitch Albom talking about Johnny Carson, and he asked him, "So, what can you do? You have any personal anecdotes?" He said, "Not any personal anecdotes." But people thought that Johnny Carson was aloof, and they thought that he was distant. He wasn't aloof or he wasn't distant. You just didn't get to know him. He was shy. He said, I don't know why it is about myself, but, you know, when I'm around people, I don't like talking to people. And who would have thought Johnny Carson, who gets up in front of a camera in front of millions of people every night, is shy around people.
He kept his personal from his work.
Yeah. So look at Vayitcha. It's such a powerful idea. Vayitcha Peis Shaul. Shaul, I mean, I'm sort of making this up, but it's so powerful. He searched inside himself, vayilbash begadim achirim, and then he put on different clothing. And it sounds like he said to himself, this is not, I was never meant to be king. It was all a mistake. And almost in a sense, by the way, when a person goes to sin, they have to change their identity. You know, we've all sort of been there. Nobody has to make any admissions. But you're going to do something you know you shouldn't do. You know you don't want to do it. You know, but somehow you're being drawn to do it. You want to tell yourself that you're a different person when you go and do that thing that you're kind of supposed to do. And that's exactly what Shaul does. He searches inside himself and says, the king wouldn't do such a thing. So who would? Somebody else. President. No, I don't want to go there. Okay. Oh, you said a president. Sorry. Vayelachu l'shvei anashar. He married a woman with his two people. I'm in Pasuk Chet. Vayavo el ha'isha laila. Came to this woman in the night. Vayomek sami na'ali kashni na'ali ba'ov. V'ali eit asher amarilech. I need you to bring a guy up. Vayatom ha'isha ilav. Hine atay yadat eit asher asa sha'ul. Asher yichvita ha'avot et ha'yidoni min ha'aret. That's, you know, so got rid of all this stuff. You're trying to kill me. What are you doing? The soul swore in God's name. What else did we notice? Anybody remember what we pointed out? I swear to you, as God lives, that nothing will happen to you for your doing this. Meaning,
how could
you offer that? But even more, what's he swearing? What? Well, but I'm more interested, but I find it more fascinating, the oath itself. And whose God does he take an oath? I swear in the name of God that if you violate his laws, nothing will happen to you. Right?
Yeah, that's kind of messed up.
Right, that's kind of messed up. Okay, well said. Okay, where are we? Batomer ha'isha et mi ha'alelach, v'yomer et Shmuel ha'alili. Do me a favor, bring up Shmuel. Batomer ha'isha et Shmuel, so she does her thing. She sees Shmuel, but she's Ak B'Kol Gadol. She cries out. She screams. Batomar Yishal Shaul Leimur Lamerim Itani Vayetasho. You lied to me. You're Shaul. So what's the obvious question? Obvious question is, how did she know? Right. So what's the answer? Anybody remember the answer we gave last week? Came up right side up, right, instead of upside down. So that's what the Midrash says. That's what Rashi says, what the Midrash says. Can you think of another reason? How else you would know? Who else would she recognize? Who else? She wouldn't recognize the king. Wow. Well, that's a little interesting. Like, her son shows up with some big tall guy, and, you know, and she doesn't know who he is. Who else would she recognize? Well, we talked about Moshe. What did we say? We said that there were two people with him. When she saw them, she knew there were two people. That's another reason. And we'll see the Midrash in a minute. So she says, well, who else would she recognize? There's one other person that you would recognize that you would know who he was.
Shmuel.
Right.
Because he's the one who went around.
Correct. Remember, we learned about the idea that everybody was mourning Shmuel because Shmuel was the one who went around from place to place. The king stayed in the palace or wherever the king stayed. Shmuel was the guy who got to know the people. He was the first circuit judge. So who else? Let's say I said, you know, I want you to bring up Moshe Rabbeinu. So see what happens. Okay. What are the odds when the call goes out in Shemayim, hey, Moshe, come on down. What are the odds that we'll actually get him? What? 50-50. Which raises another question, another interesting question, which the Mefarshim should deal with very strongly, is how did this work? Are we stuck with that question? Okay, so let's look at our sheets. How did it work? Page 2. There's a long Malbim on it. So I want it to be the Malbim, and then we'll see how far we get. That's the one with the lines. Okay? Vatera Ha'isha. See the second Malbim? Okay. Hamafarshin Ha'erichu B'davar Hazeh Ma'od. I'm on page 2. Do I see where I am? I think I have another 2. Don't I? Why don't you share with Zoya? Lance, do you know Zoya? I want to make sure that you know where. Sometimes a lot of people tell me that they don't. A lot of people tell me they don't know people in shul. So anytime.
You should walk up to them, say, "I'm Blanche. Hi, how are you?"
Hi, I'm Blanche. Blanche asked for that one. Okay. Page 2, the second one with the numbers. I'm a fashion man. Rihu b'davar zemaot. Basher yafle. It's wondrous. Ech yitzuar. How could it be? She'isha b'chshafeha, timshol al nefesh hanavi, hatshura v'tshur hachayim, mim'ona, v'hiyot ke'ov me'eretz kola. Basically, in a nutshell, the question is, how is it that some low life, some necromancer woman, could have the power to raise up the soul of Shmuel HaNavi. I don't care what she is. How is it possible? What she should have done is she should have tried to do her thing, and she should have just gotten like an error message, you know, like my computer. I'm sorry, not working right now. Server busy. Shmuel not coming. We get that all the time. I know, yeah.
But
right. So how could she bring up Shmuel?
Maybe she really didn't.
And somebody else helped. So let's stop for a second. What are our different options?
She's a
What is our assumption? Our assumption is that spiritually, Shmuel is greater than her.
She could be a complete phony.
Option number one, if I were on the board because I cleaned it, she's a total fraud. Okay? If she's a total fraud, then what about the discussion we find? There's a discussion in the Navi. You were here last week. There's a whole discussion. He said, blah, blah, blah. You know, what are you doing? Why are you raising me up? I don't know what to do.
So it could be a part. It's about, you know, she pre-arranged it. Whoever's going to be, you're going to be.
Somebody sees some souls, right?
What?
Souls nuts.
True. What's that? So yeah. She's a fraud?
Yeah.
He's bonkers?
Maybe she's not a fraud. Maybe she has. If you go against the Torah, then there's some powers out there that we don't know.
Powers exist.
And
there's one more out there.
Shmuel came anyway.
Okay, those are, maybe there are more, but those are four really legitimate options to understand. How could it be that she had the power to raise Shmuel? So let's see. But Yomer HaGom, you see where it says five? I don't know if that's actually line five. Excuse me. Rab Shmuel ben Chafni, Shekol Maaseh Ha'ov Ayad Davar Kazeg Vehitulim. It's all a bunch of malarkey. Vayomer HaRalbag, what? The Ralbag says, Shehayah Mipu'ulat Koach HaDimyon. It was part of the powers of the imagination. The called the Lo Yachidu HaKtuvim, Ha'omim Shehayah Davar Mamash. He says, but there's a problem with that. If you say it's all falsehood, what do you do with the next psukim? Let's read on the Navi. Next psukim. What happens in the discussion? Vayomer HaMelech, Al Tiri, Pastor Kid Gimel, don't be afraid, Kiva Eat. What did you see? She says, I saw Elohim, a great man, Olim and Harish, two people coming up from the ground. What is two people? Remember last week we learned?
Moshe
Rabbeinu came. Right, that's what a guess. Vayomer Mata Aro, what does he look like? Vayomer Ishakin Oleh, an old man, who Otem Eel. Okay, now by the way, read this. Remember our possibilities. Read the discussion, knowing our possibilities of what the nature of the discussion is really like. Have you understood what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If it wasn't real, it wouldn't be so descriptive.
Well, she says, keep your eyes closed.
What does she say? No, he can't see anything.
Right, he can't see. It's a tell me what you see.
Right. Tell me what you see. Who did he ask for?
Sure.
He didn't ask for, I see your uncle, is it a man? I see, yes, it's a man. And he's got a beard. And, right, yeah. You know? Is it Uncle Ned? I don't know. It starts with an N. Ned! listen to the conversation. Now, Yama is Zakein Oleb who Otem Eel. He's wrapped in a coat. You're not impressed.
No.
Why? Why? Tell me why, though.
No,
he's wrapped in a coat. That's how Shmuel dressed.
Okay, so she knew that.
Right, okay. Vayedah Shaul ki Shmuel hu. Oh, so knew Shmuel. Vayikod apayim arza vayistachu. And he bowed down. Now, by the way, when you hear, remember that annoyingly boring piece of hard part that I showed you last week? Right? So when you hear the voice, when you hear this voice through the mystics, through the medium, was it, Was it Verizon or was it Sprint? Could you hear it or was it like, staticky? What do you think?
I don't know. For him to recognize it, it would have to be the voice that he would know from before.
Correct. Who says he recognized it?
He heard it in his mind.
He bowed down. Vayeda Shaul ki Shmuel.
How could he know?
Saul knew that it was Shmuel.
How could he know? Just from the description?
David's reading with his own perspective. The Holy Malarkey, right?
Yeah.
He knew. Okay, no, this is definitely, I just want to show you how the same thing that we read last week can now be read in three different ways. Yes. Four probably. Saul knew that it was Shmuel. Did anybody tell him?
Well,
when he asked. Right? He said, what does he look like? He can only hear. But he can only hear like this. We don't know what he can hear like. Does it say, by Yaker Shaul, it calls Shmuel? You recognize his voice? No. What? Just as he knew. Vayomer Shmuel al Shaul, Lama, Pasit Tishrav, Lama Hirgashtani la'alot oti. Why have thou awakened me? It sounds funny now, doesn't it? It wasn't as funny last week. I'm serious. It all depends on your perspective on the story. Vayomer Shaul, tsar li ma'od. I was taken by that. I don't know what to do anymore. Plishtim nilchamim bi. They're fighting with me, the Plishtim. Ve'elohim sha'ami alai ve'lo anani od. And God has turned away from me. Gam b'yad ha'nevi'im, gam b'chalomot. Ve'ekra'el lecha lehodi'eni ma'asai. I want to know, what should I do? Ve'yomus mu'el. Ve'lama tishaleini v'ashem sha'ami alecha ve'hi arech. What are you asking me for? God didn't want to answer you. I'm not going to answer you. No, read it. Dave, what are you laughing now? It's so obvious now, isn't it?
But if it was a figment of his imagination, why would he make
this? Oh, no, he's not assuming it's a figment. He's not saying it's imagination. What is he? What do you mean?
I can just see Mel Brooks, you know, doing this. Well, why'd you wake me up for, you know, what am I going to tell you?
Okay, imagine, by the way, that she's a fraud.
It sounds more like a
imagine she's a fraud, right? So she says, she's saying to him, oh, Shaul, I see a man. Hello, you know, and she says, what's the first thing you would say if you were faking it? Why are you awakening me? So he like starts crying, and so what's the easiest thing to say? What do you want me to do about it? Right? She's pretty obvious then, doesn't it?
But she's not saying.
How do you know? What do you mean she's not? How do you know? By the way, let's assume she's good. And you have to assume she's good because this is her job.
He hears it. She doesn't say anything.
He hears it. Right, correct.
His eyes are closed.
What does he hear?
No,
you ever seen The Wizard of Oz?
One hears and one
doesn't. Who are you to challenge the great Oz?
She doesn't hear what he's hearing.
What?
She doesn't hear what he's hearing. His conversation is private.
No, you're reading Midrash. In real Oz, she doesn't hear what he's hearing. Rashi, in the Midrash, assumes that this conversation is really happening. Okay? But now, take a different perspective. You want to be able to read this text in different ways at the same time. Okay? We already read it last week assuming that it was true. Now I'm trying to read it for you assuming that it's not true. Assume that it's false. Now, is it such a stretch? Have we heard anything really that far of a stretch so far? Nothing really that good, you know? If she was good, then what is her real job? Let's assume that she was a total fraud. Then what's her real job? What does she do for a living? What did you say? Acting. She's a great actress.
She has to know what he wants to hear in order for it to work.
Excuse me. Bradley, one second. You go to New York City, right? And you look under the, and you yellow pages for, are you going to Detroit? Tarot card readers.
No.
Is it real or is it fake?
They play a game with you, though, because they get you to reveal key information through the discussion that you don't even realize that you're giving it away.
Okay, Bradley, let's go. You're Shmuel, you're Shaul, I'm the lady. What can I do for you? Who would you like to meet today?
That's the giveaway right there, that he said, I want to talk to Shmuel. So she knows what to say at that point.
So? That's exactly the point.
Right. So far, we're going into the conversation.
Oh, okay, let's go on to the conversation. Okay. Here we are. Vayash, she says, Vayash, Pasuk Yizayin, Vayash Hashem lo kasher diber v'yadi. Vayikra Hashem et hamamcha miyadecha, vayitna l'reyacha l'david. God will tear the kingdom from your hands and give it to your neighbor, to David. What do you think, Debbie? True or false? Fake or real?
How would she know? Right?
What?
How would she know that we were going to happen?
How would she know?
Everybody.
Yeah, everybody knew. How did everybody know? Because Shmuel said it to Shaul.
And
Shaul was crazy. Everybody knew that David was. Everybody knew. So, right? Now, I just want to read, is it plausible? Is it plausible that she could make that up and she would know that? Yeah. Kasher lo samate b'kol Hashem, b'lo asita charon apel ba'amalek. you did not follow the voice of God, and you didn't incur his wrath or inject his wrath in Amalek, that's why God is doing this to you now. And tomorrow you and your sons are with me. What do you think, Brad?
I'm trying to remember the previous conversations that he had publicly.
Now, this is the only one that's tough.
Now, how does she know that he didn't follow his will when it came to Amalek?
No, everyone knew that.
Everyone knew that.
Yeah.
The Amalek thing was coming up, right? The only thing that they struggle with is what? Him and you and your sons are going to die tomorrow.
So
she's
got the whole camp
in
there. What? The whole camp is going
to
be handed over.
Right. But by the way, that's not so hard to figure out. Let's say you believe, Bradley, that she was making the whole thing up. Okay? She's making the whole thing up. She's totally made it up. So, A. What? It's a 50-50 chance. You're either going to win or you're going to lose. Now, you're her, and you see Shaul, the king Shaul, and you're going to have to make an educated guess. You're the coach of the football team. You have to decide. You're looking at your players, and you're going to make an educated guess. Are they going to win tomorrow? Are they going to lose tomorrow? Now, let's look at the facts.
This guy looks pretty desperate.
What?
He looks pretty desperate.
He's the king of Israel. God won't answer him. The prophets won't answer him. The order of two men won't answer him. Okay? How does he look? How does he look?
He looks like he's out of luck.
He looks bad. Right? What else do we know about him? Periods of delusion. Melancholy. And you know what has he done? He has disguised himself and come to a necromancer to find the truth. That's like a rocket scientist to figure out how that battle's going to go tomorrow.
But why not tell him?
And this is assuming that she's just a regular old lady, nothing to do with Abner.
Assuming she's a total fraud. Right, and that she's nothing to do with Abner. Yeah.
But why not tell him that he's going to be victorious? Because if he's victorious,
then she gets...
He'll think that she's a genius.
Right.
And if he loses, he's not going to come back to complain.
I don't know. I don't know.
With that said, that would be a big gamble.
Yeah, I don't know. Good question. Okay, now let's go back to our Mabit, page 2. Okay. So the Gaon Rabbi Shmuel, I'm on line 5 on page 2, the Gaon Rabbi Shmuel, if you have trouble following, I'll read it for you and translate. Shekol ma'aseh ha'ol v'yar davar chazeh v'hitulim. It's all a bunch of malarkey. Now just to know, the Gaon Rabbi Shmuel ben Chafni, now that we read it that way and open your eyes, it's funny. The same thing you read one way last week is entirely plausible, the exact opposite way this week. It's plausible. Do you not agree?
I think
it's
possible.
Okay, fine. And the Ralbag said something similar. That it was the Pu'ulat Koach HaDimyon. That's what David said. The Koach HaDimyon means it was a figment of his imagination. She just had to give him the framework.
The power of suggestion.
Correct. So Imam says it's impossible. The text does not back that up. The text would have said, if it was fake, it would have mentioned it. Meaning the text describes the story as if it actually happened. It seems to imply that Shmuel gave him a prophecy. And who would reign after him? You see the beginning of Sadia line 7? Rav Haigon, Rav Sadia Gon said, the woman did not make Shmuel come back. So now we're back to that question. If you don't believe it was imagination, and if you don't believe that she was a fraud, how did she put up to bring Shmuel back? So they say, Rav Sadia and Rav Haigon say, it wasn't she didn't do it. Rak ha-bore ha-chayehu. Who brought him back? God did. L'man yoda l'sha'ul ha'atid lavo alav ve'al beito. So that he would know what would happen to him. V'imhaya ha'kein. But if that was true, madu alo anahu ba'ur minriyim. What does that mean? If God wanted you to know the answer, then tell him, why do you have to go through this whole charade of going to the lady? So you understand, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. There are There was so far no really good answer.
Wouldn't that be so he's not holy enough to talk to any of the other ones?
How would you answer that question?
That means like God's making him do an avera.
God didn't make him do anything.
I mean, but you know, he wants an answer, and he's not going to answer three of the normal ways.
Right.
And you know, the only way he's actually getting an answer is if he does this, you know, prophecy with the dead. I mean,
right.
This doesn't make a lot of sense.
It does make sense. Now explain to me why it makes sense. Okay, then try to go beyond yourself and try to figure out a way why it would make sense. Why would God not answer him in legitimate channels? But if he goes beyond the pale...
Because he wasn't worth legitimate.
What? God is legitimizing... Does it sound like God is legitimizing his oath, his necromancy?
No.
Let's assume...
I'm saying if he answered him in that manner, it would make it seem like he deserved to be answered in that manner.
Okay.
And since he doesn't, he has to go through all these... Your
channel, okay, is that a plausible answer?
Yeah.
What?
I don't think so.
What's the purpose of answering? We'll leave that. We'll come back to it. We can come back in the end. Okay.
If it'll help him, I guess.
Oh, how could it help him? What is the answer?
The answer is
no. The answer is? Three lies. Three words? You're going to die. No, one word. No.
Well, the order between yes and no.
Right. You're going to die.
So the answer would have been no.
Right. So, no meaning? No. What would no have meant?
No means don't go fight.
What?
Don't fight.
Right. No would have meant don't fight.
If you ask what's his team, God says no.
Correct.
You make a new plan.
Correct. You say, well, then forget that. Right? And here, what is he saying? He's not saying, meaning, if you ask a prophet, will I go win? You have to know how to ask a shiloh. You have to know how to ask a shiloh. Right? Sometimes, you have to ask carefully. Because, you know, you have to know the people, and you have to know what they can do, and what they will listen to, and what they won't listen to. You know, and that's the real world. But you have to know how to ask a shiloh. So, you sometimes will ask this way. If I were to ask the Rav this question, what would the answer be? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Right, because let's say a Balabas asked me a question, and I know what the ramifications of the question are, but I don't think that the Balabas is able to stand up to that kind of test, or is on the level that's an issue that they can deal with right now.
So
you ask it in a hypothetical, because if I ask it in a practical,
if you were to ask,
then I'm bound by it. Correct.
Then I would answer you this way.
Correct. Correct. It happens all the time. That's the real world. You know? And so that's exactly the same case here. If Shaul asks a question and he gets an answer, he's not going to go fight. But what does God want? He wants to give him a choice. We'll see what the choice is in a minute. Okay. Line 9, or line 8, somewhere in the middle. You notice there's 6 lines between 5 and 10. Okay. See where it says, Vayomer Mahari. Vayomer Mahari. Sheshed hitlabesh begufo shel Shmuel. That's a good one. What does that mean? Shade, a demon disguised himself, dressed in the garb of Shmuel. V'hu asher shukara'u haktuvin b'shem Shmuel mitzad gufo. Why do they call him Shmuel? Because he looked like Shmuel. V'yomer ba'al akedat Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Arama, so the author of Akedat Yitzchak said, Shehi itchila bepeula. She started doing her stuff. Vayidei Cain hitorer Shmuel me'atzmo.
Oh boy.
She did her stuff, and the call came out, Shmuel. And you know what Shmuel decided to do? He didn't have to go. He decided to go. Okay? He says, Ulam, line 10. But, so you see all the different answers? How many do we have? Fraud. Demon. What was the other one?
That's a tough
God. Was God sent him? He believed in it. It was an imagination. And the last one was the last one. That Shmuel himself decided to go. Those are five. So what does he say? Ulam lama lanu, line 10. See where it says 10 or line 11, whatever which one it is. Lama lanu hadu chukim ha'atzumim ha'ela. Well, you know, what do we need all that for? Halo chachamenu zichronam livracha. If you look at the midrash, the rabbi said, ba'agadotehem, sipru ma'aseh ov. They told about Ma'aseh Ov, the act of Ov, of necromancy. Shahayad Nahuk Adain Bimei Chachmei HaMishnah V'HaTalmud.
They used to do it in the times of the Mishnah and the Talmud. Ve'idu shahaya b'kolcham ha'alot ha'nefashot mikivrayhem. And they said that it worked. You could do it. And people used to do it. Mamash. Literally. Ve'amru, and they said, shama alero eyu v'anishal shomeret kolo. And they explained exactly how it would come. Okay? Skip to the next line, ulam. See there it says ulam in line 13? Line 13, ulam. There's a period there and it says ulam. Everyone got it? Ulam. So what does he say? He says, I believe that it really worked. Asher tipale ech yimshol hakishuv al nefesh hanavi. How could it be fine? I mean, let's say it works. So it works for Tom the garbage man. But it doesn't work for Shmuel the prophet. I already clarified in the Durasha, the soul that comes from above, he tistalek tekaf b'mot ha'adam. When a person dies, the soul leaves the body. V'tashuv ele Elohim asher nitna. And it returns to God that gave it. So there's a life force that returns to God. Ulam, line 15, but Hanefesh hahiyula anit. I have no idea what that word means in English. The soul hahiyula anit. The heulistic? I don't know. I don't even know what that means. Hamitaveh im hagviya. That exists with the body. Lo tistalek ad kalot hagviya bekever achar yudbet chodesh. But there's another soul that remains and lingers with the body for the period of 12 months after a person dies. K'mashikatev kol yud bet chodesh hi ole v'yoredet. Ki yesh la kesher atmi im ha'gviya. And there's this connection between the body and the soul. V'chol od shelo na'aseh ba'melechet ha'alchimia a'idei tzi'uf ha'tzi'uf ha'zichuch shi'ile ha'guf v'yitalchuk ha'ahav. As long as the body has not disintegrated, a'dayin hu lamata, it is still in the ground below in this world, v'yesh koach la'ov l'msol aleha. So, hopefully I've just spooked all of you.
Yes.
Right? Freak out. We in the Jewish tradition believe we don't do cremations, we don't do embalming, and we don't do crypts, and we don't do tombs. Why? The Malbim just told you why. He said, because there's more than one soul to a person. There's a life force that goes and returns to God as soon as the life is over, but there's a part of the soul that's connected to the body. And that part of the soul is connected to the body during the 12 months it takes for the body to disintegrate in the ground. And until the disintegration occurs, that soul is still stuck down here.
Not the nefesh rock and the nefesh
I don't know. Maybe. I couldn't tell you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So Shmuel, he was just buried. He just died. Remember, we just learned that he had just died.
So there's still a connection.
He's still stuck in the earth.
And he's still bound by certain laws.
Still bound by laws in the world. Correct. You know, and that's what the Malbim says. The Malbim lived 100 years ago, 150 years ago. He says, all the people that say it's a fraud, and she made it up, and that it was a demon, that it was this, that it was that, baloney. It's all real. There's magic in the world, there's dark forces in the world, there's demons in the world.
What then happened to the 6 million that will burn?
That's God's problem.
Well,
that's God's problem.
Believe that, then they lost their connection.
Yeah.
So that's a Kodesh Baruch Hu problem. He asked that shot was asked by many people. Yeah. Well, and Rabbanim answered that they asked that question. How will there be Tchiyas HaMeishim? If you look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin about the resurrection of the dead, it seems very clear that you have to have been buried.
Right.
So what do you do with the 6 million that were burned in the crematorium? So they say we have to believe that if a person, you know, is buried, is cremated not under his own volition, out of Kiddush Hashem, that God will work it out. That's really the basic answer. God will work it out. You know, sometimes God doesn't have to live by the rules. We're stuck by the rules. Meaning, there's the world, and I in my personal life, believe this 100%. There are natural physical laws. But we know there's gravity. Right? Everybody can see gravity. You can experience it. Why do we think any differently that there aren't also spiritual laws that we can't see and perceive? There are rules. The world works in a certain way. Just as God created a level that we can see, the great example of this is cell phones, right? There's a whole network going on around us, inside of us, through us, that we can't see. But we know it's there because we have the connectors. We have the communicators. So if you have the proper communicator, you can access the spiritual network. Right? Makes sense. The only difference is one is science and one is spirituality. One we say is real and one is Harry Potter.
Imagination.
What?
Science used to be Harry Potter.
Science used to be Harry Potter. So that's what he said. You know, the reason I started with Harry Potter is because I was going for this novel. Right? Because you look at it and it's like, oh, fantasy, you know. I think there's a lot of reality to it. It's just a lost, it's lost, and it's forbidden. But it's there. And the more people were connected to the spiritual in the world, the more power they had to be connected to that. It's interesting. We ever speak about, wait, how much time do I have? Because I want to. I don't want to. 10 minutes. 10 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Slow. Oh, you're slow. Okay. I think I spoke about this once. I don't think it was in this forum. I heard a talk a year ago at the RCA, Rabbinical Council of America, conference given by Rabbi Moshe Weinberger. Rabbi Weinberger is the rabbi of a so-called Ish Kodesh in, what's the place in Long Island where everybody has big houses? No, different one. No. Lawrence.
Lawrence.
Each Kodesh, you're Lawrence. Lawrence. Okay? It's hot in here now, right?
No.
I'm hot. Okay.
Well, I'm here because you're...
I'm moving, I'm shaking. Okay. He said the following. He said, we don't understand why were people so pulled towards Avodah Zarah, towards idolatry? Idolatry to us is like this unbelievable thing. You have no idea, what is that? And you notice the Torah warns, don't go to idolatry. It's in the Shema. Don't worship idols. You bring an idol to me today. You say, worship it. What am I going to do? Knock in your face. Are you crazy?
We worship plenty of idols today.
All right. Metaphysical idols. We worship the idols.
Actually.
All right. But literally, they bow down to idols. And it seems like it seems crazy, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So he says, what happened was, The Gemara of Avodah Zarah says that the rabbis prayed that God would take away the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. That God would take away the desire for Avodah Zarah. But you can't just do that. Everything has a cost and a benefit.
Well, you said that they didn't have kids or something.
Oh, no. They first said, God, and they should take away Avodah Zarah, and you did that. They saw, hey, this worked. So then they also prayed, hey, you know, if that's working, take away sexuality. No sports illustrated swimsuit issue, no pornography, no problems. Except there was one problem. The chickens weren't laying eggs. Cost benefit. So God brought that back. What was lost, said Rabbi Weinberger? We think, oh, it's great. No, but it's not, right? What was lost, he asked. What was lost when they prayed for Avodah Zarah, for the desire for Avodah Zarah to be lost?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Mm-hmm.
No, not prophecy. Prophecy was gone by then.
Right.
He said that at that time, there was this desire for the spiritual. People were drawn towards the power of the spiritual. The problem was they were so drawn by it, they were so taken up by it, that they latched onto anything spiritual they could find. Instead of, in a way that we can't comprehend. It's not even there for us.
Okay, it's not there at all.
When they got rid of it, though, so then we had to fall back on our logic, on our senses. He said, I remember he said, it's so interesting, he said, in the times of Mashiach, the spirituality is coming around the world. It's trying to return to the world. And people have this desire for that spirituality, but they have no place to put it. They don't know what to do with it. You ever notice like the resurgence of Shlomo Carlebach today? Mm-hmm. Shlomo Carlebach is more popular today than he ever was. Why?
Not because of that.
People are looking for something. People are searching for something more spiritual. It's not enough. The soul that we grew up in is not enough. You know, they don't want the spittoons, they don't want just the dafyomi shir, they want something more people want now. That's what he said. Very powerful. Very good speaker. But that spirituality exists. There's a whole other level that we're not aware of, but we can sense, and we can feel. And it's there. So that's what he says. Well, very interesting. This is very, very fascinating. You can read the text any way you want. You can read it that it was a fraud, and somebody says, you can read it that she made it up, you can read it was imagination, or you can read it it's real. And Chazal say that it was real. Let's go back to Shaul for a second, just to understand. Look on the bottom of page 22. Bottom page 2. What was Shaul at this point? As soon as he turned to the Baal HaTov, what did he become? All those things, right? So I would tell you that Shaul, what is Shaul? The answer is that word, Vayitchapes. He searched himself. He found himself, and he became an eternal contradiction. Vayomer Shaul al Avadav, Bichu li Eshet Balat, O Belchai Le'Aved Shabbat. See the midrash on the bottom of page 2, the bottom of page 2, the last verse. Lema Shaul domer be'ota sha'a. What was Shaul be compared to at that time? Amar Reish Lakish. Said Reish Lakish. This is a quote from the midrash. Mashal lemelech shenichnas lemedina. A king entered a kingdom. The gazara kol tarnegolish yesh ba'akan yishchatu. Kill all the chickens. But Lailah b'kesh latek. One night he wanted to go out. Amar yesh kan tarnegolish yikra. I need a rooster to wake me up in the morning. Amrulo, they said, Lo ata husha gazarte ve'amar kol tarnegolish yesh kan. You were the one that got rid of the chickens. Kach. That's what it means. V'sha'ul ha'hisir ha'avot ha'idunim. He was the one who got rid of the Ov, the Baalat Ov, the Ov lady. V'omer bikshu li Baalat Ov. And then he says, got any Ov lady around? Next page. Page 3. Top of page 3. That's the same sentiment even more sharply. Page 3 at the top. V'yishavad la Sha'ul b'Hashem. Remember I said the Shaul swore in God's name? Evan, if I recall, you said, that's messed up. Okay, that's what I recall. Lema Shaul domer be'otel sha'a. What is Shaul like at that moment? Amar Reish Lakish. Mashal le'isha shahaita eitel ohava. A woman is with her lover. V'nishba'at b'chaye ba'ala. And she swears on the life of her husband. Got it? I didn't say it. Reish Lakish said it. That's exactly what he did. She's there with her paramour, her adulterer, and she says, oh, my husband all the time, I love when he does that. Hello? Kach Shaul ba'ov v'yidoni. So too Shaul and Ov and Yidoni v'omer chai Hashem. As God lives, I swear in the name of God.
Why did Shaul banished the necromancers?
Oh no, he banished them before then. This is a long-standing policy of his. Where? It said Shaul had done it. What? He had done it previously. But Shaul, it's giving you background information. Shmuel made. Yeah. The Shaul Heishir means he had done. How does it translate in English? And Shaul had removed or Shaul removed?
Had done.
It's clearly of historical nature. Okay, back to Pasuk Chaf. Back in the Navi to Pasuk Chaf. Pasuk Chaf. One second. Just want to get the right midrash. Okay. Vayimahar Shaul, vayipol melo kamatel arca Shaul. Hastened and he bowed down. He became very fearful. Gam koach lo hayabo. He had no strength. He lo achal lechem kol hayom b'chalah. He had anything. He was so weak. Matavo yishal Shaul batera ki nivhal ma'od. The woman rushed him. He's like all messed up. Matavo elav. He said, Hinei shamashiv chatech b'kolech. I hear you. V'asim nafshi b'chapi. V'ashma dvarecha asher dibarta elav. How does that translate? I'll place my soul in b'chapi, in my hand. And I will listen to the words that you said to me. Pasuk Chabet. Ve'ata. Oh, I trusted you, and I listened to you. And now, Shema na gamata b'kol shivchatecha. You listen to me. Ve'ashim lefanecha pat lechem ve'achol. I'm going to give you bread, and you're going to eat. Ve'yivecha koach ki telech v'darach. And you'll have enough power, enough strength to go. Chav gimel v'yivaim v'yomer lo ochal. I'm not eating anything. V'yifetu bo avadav. V'gam ha'isha v'yishma lekolam. So they said, you have to eat. And he listened. V'yakam mi ha'aretz v'yeshev el amita. Get up from the ground. And he sat on the bed. V'la'isha egel marbek b'bayif v'temer v'tiz b'cheyu. She had a calf. She slaughtered it. V'tikach kemesh v'telas v'tofeyu. She took bread. She took flour and she kneaded it and she baked it into matzot. V'tageish lifnei sha'ul lifnei avada v'yochelu. And she put it in front of them and they ate. V'yakumu v'yochu b'layla hahu. And they left. We asked a very interesting question.
interesting question that I asked at the end of last year was. Was anybody remember? The question is, why doesn't Shaul run away? Let's say it was true. Or even if it wasn't true. He believes it's true. And he goes to Shmuel, and Shmuel says, you're going to die tomorrow.
So where's he going to go?
To his destiny. You know what you're saying? What?
He's heard the same message many, many times.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
and what's he done until now?
He hasn't believed in it, maybe.
Or hasn't believed in it. He's been fighting it his whole life.
Right. But look how well he is now. He's like at the end of, you know.
Why doesn't Saul run away?
Becomes a point.
There's nowhere to go.
There comes a point where you just have to stop fighting and realize it's happening.
Okay. Look at the Midrash on page 4. Go on page 4. Two Midrashim. It says, Vayitein Hashem et Yisrael. Want to share? Can you share, guys, share? You don't have page 4?
No.
You guys share? Yeah. And you guys share. Thank you. Amar lei Shaul l'Shmuel. Shaul said to Shmuel, V'ein ma'arek, can I stay? Amar lei Shmuel, Shmuel said to him, In arakt at mishtiziv. If you run away, you will be saved. See where the parentheses? In tivrach kinafseh. If you run away, I'll save you. Aval, but, in mekabel alecha midas hadin, if you accept judgment upon yourself, umachar ata ubanecha imi, then you and your sons will be with me. Nahu imi, amu Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan said, what does it mean you'll be with me? Not dead. Imi b'mechitzasi. You'll be standing next to me.
Himself.
You could redeem yourself in that one act. He asked him, can I run away? And he said, you can run away. What? Right? With me, the means in my galleries, in Shemayim, in heaven. If he doesn't run away, he would be atoned in his death. And he would be with Shmuel. When he heard Shmuel said, he became afraid. As it says, he could, in one fell swoop, if you accept it finally, you accept the truth, you own up to your mistakes, you decide once and for all that God was right and Shmuel was right and I was wrong, and you stop running away, and you stop trying to pin it on David, you could be in Ibn Mechitzati. So can he run away? Sure he can. But there is grace and there is salvation in facing, not only facing your end, but facing yourself and owning up to it and becoming who you should become. And sometimes that means giving yourself a little next midrash. One more midrash, so powerful. Ma'itol meloka matur archa. Amamo Abner v'amasha l'sa'ol. They said, Ma'a tal l'cha Shmuel. What am I l'cha? What did he say? Amalim v'machar at nachit tekir v'av nitzach. Machar atah yobed v'mil chabar v'tim atzeach. He said, tomorrow you're going to win. V'lo od, moreover, ela banecha mitmanin ravavin. Your children are going to be great. He lied to them. He said, we're going to win tomorrow. That's what he told me. Natal to the end, the fourth line, the end of the line. Natal Shaul Shosha Banavi Yatala Milchamash. So he went out to war. Amar Reish Lakish. Remember the Reish Lakish that was so critical of Shaul? Same Reish Lakish. But Oto Sha'ah, that moment, Karah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Malachi HaSharish. God called out to the angels, but Amar them, and he said, Bo Ru'u Ber Yeshiv Arati Be'olami. Look at this creation I created in my world. The knowledge of Olam Adam Holech Lebeis Amishter. In the world, normally a person goes to a house, a party, Eino Molech Banav Imo Mitnei Marash Ayin. He doesn't take his children with him. It doesn't look nice.
V'zeh yotzeh l'milchama. This guy goes out to war. V'yodeh sh'neherag. And he knows he's going to be killed. V'noto bana v'imo. And he takes his children with him. V'samach ha'mid ha'sardin sh'pogat bo. And he rejoices in the justice that's coming to him. Shaul's last act, his willingness to go fight a war, he knows is hopeless. To go die in battle, at least he dies, as we say, like a king. And death, maybe, his death is his greatest act of all.
Well, why does he take his children?
What is? You want to know?
Yeah.
Amar Rav Yosef de Sikman b'shem Rav Levi, four lines on the bottom. Harolo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe dor dor v'darsha. So when Moshe went up to the Mount Sinai, so God put out a flat screen in front of him and started showing him all the generations. Dor dor v'shoftav, the generations and its judges, dor dor m'lacha, and also the kings. V'harei Moshe l'ubanav milkin b'chara. And so what did Moshe see? He saw the show, he's going to die. I'm a lefana b'ivana shalolam. God, melech rizon shi'avod alonecha yidaka b'chad. The first king, at least like the one king gets you life. The first king should be stabbed by a spear. I'm a lo Moshe. He said, Moshe, li'ata omer. You're telling that to me? Emor el ha-kohanim shahalat shenekat v'ginoso. Tell it to the kohanim that he killed, the 70 kohanim that he killed, who are prosecuting against him. Shaul is, the whole chapter, I have a whole list, the whole chapter is a chapter of contradictions. He needs Shmuel. Who do you want? Who's the one who rejected Shmuel? He's the one who said, Shmuel said, you're going to die? No, I'm not. He rejected. He spent his whole life rejecting Shmuel. And what does he do in the very end? Goes to Shmuel after he's dead. Everything about Shaul is a contradiction. He needs the Urim Batumim. Where's the Urim Batumim? Whoops, he killed all the guys who had it. Sorry. Right? He needs Ov. Where's Ov? Oh, he was the one who got rid of it. The whole chapter is chapter of contradictions. He needs to find a Baal like Ov, so what does he have to do? He has to go be somebody else. So the whole thing makes no sense. And that, in the end, that is the shadows of Shmuel. Of Shaul, excuse me. And so when is Shaul finally become the person who could stand with Shmuel in the heavens? When he stops being a contradiction. And he stands up and admits who he was and the mistakes that he made, and he dies like the king of Israel, fighting for his people. Have a good week.